We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Friends and enemies, welcome to Group Therapy Live. This is Pod Mavericks post-game cope session. I'm Kirk Henderson, editor-in-chief over at MavsMoneyBall.com. You just heard Josh Bow and I give a relatively stable sort of recapping of the Mavs losing to the Clippers. Now is time for the unhinged part of the show, if that's how you're feeling. I see two folks already waiting to talk to the show here. If you haven't ever been a part of the show before, I posted a link to a application, StreamYard. And what you do is, if you're in front of your computer, even with your phone, all you really need to do is click on that link. You'll be taken to a waiting room where I will bring you up and we can talk about a little basketball if that's something you are at all interested in. We got the regulars that I normally have come in here that really love to give their takes. We have two people driving. That shows how fucking insane all of us are feeling right now. Shout out to my man Henry, who's leaving a tip. He says, I want to call in, but I'm still at work. Henry, we appreciate you for joining the show. Henry always has the best avatars. All right, so we're gonna kick to my friend Chris, who is experiencing, I'm sure, a long drive home. I think he lives 3 hours away from Dallas, and yet he comes to so many home games. I am really in awe of his dedication. Chris, welcome to the show. What's up?
Hey, can you hear me? You can hear? Oh, okay, good, good. Let me set this down here real quick.
This is so insane if you're watching on YouTube. All right, so what do you think, Chris?
I can barely see how fast I'm driving right now, but it's okay. No, I'm on cruise control. I'm good. So game three was awesome. Sorry, I wasn't in the I've been sick lately, so my voice is kind of messed up, and plus I was yelling at the game. Okay, now game four. Dude, all range of emotions. It's just crazy how, man, down by 31, and we – get to a point where we're up 2 points, and it's just like we just cannot hold on to this lead. I mean, am I mad about the first half? Like, were most of those threes that Paul George and Harden made, you think that they were really contested? I mean, there were times Paul George was just wide open. I mean, I don't know if they were running a zone or what, but I don't know. Some did look like they were contested. They were just really tough shots.
So I've seen some early advanced stats on this, and I'll get more as the game goes along. I'm going to mute you real quick. Sorry, I'll unmute you whenever it's time. Basically what ends up happening is early looks at the data, the Mavericks contested most of the Clippers' 3-point shots pretty good. Now you do give some open threes, but the Mavericks essentially are deciding to pack the paint in a real way. So that is a big element of what was happening. So I do know what you mean on a couple of the early Paul George ones, but he also hit some incredible shots.
Yeah. I don't even know if I was mad or anything, but it's very, very, very disappointing that Oh, man. Paul George did hit that tough shot at the end. I mean, what are you going to do? Like, they were hitting some most ridiculous shots, but like you said, Kyrie Irving was willing us into this game. I mean, we know Luka's hurt right now, but I'm pretty sure they're not going to be playing Kawhi the rest of the series.
He's probably done. Yeah, I would suspect he's done for the series.
And they're matching up better against us. Oh, I don't even know if this is really who they are. Like, does Harden and Paul George really hit these kind of threes in the regular season? I don't remember seeing the Clippers play like this. Like,
I mean, the Clippers are an unbelievable 3-point shooting team. Like, just as a team, they have so many guys who are good at these shots. Now, Paul George is all NBA level player. James Harden is going to the NBA Hall of Fame. So if you're asking, like, are they going to continue to hit big shots? I think the answer is you can't rely on them missing them. I don't necessarily think, you know, let's just go look at the stats right now. I don't necessarily think James Harden is going to go 4-for-5 from three, but frankly, his threes have looked so good, he should probably be taking more. You know, Paul George was 7-of-10. You know, again, like, I think you trust your process, and as mad as I do get at Kidd, I don't necessarily lay this at his feet. I understand why they kept going with the same defensive lineup that played down the stretch. I just wish at a certain point when they were noticing that they weren't actually getting stops, that they would have gone to something else. Because Kyrie's shot making in the fourth quarter and it was what kept it close, not their defense.
And lastly, do you feel like they probably I know that they were going small ball because they were trying to guard the three towards the end, but do you feel like they should have had at least Lively in there just for – I mean, those Harden floaters were killing us, dude. Like,
they were. But that's what I mean. That's what I mean. So this defensive lineup with PJ at the four and Maxi at the five is what has brought them home for several stretches of the post-trade deadline season. The numbers on it are fantastic. So that's why Kidd kept riding it. That's also specifically why I'm saying I wish, you know, it, around minute eight, whenever things started going awry in the fourth quarter, I really wish the Mavericks would have switched to something else by like minute six or minute four, but they really did not deviate from their plan at all. And I wonder what the tape will show on that, because I think giving James Harden the floater is a stupid game plan.
Yeah. Hey, one last thing. It was funny. Me and all these crazy fans, we were just like heckling Ballmer. He was down there squirming and stuff. Like, he had wipes for days, man. It's just crazy. Ballmer was nervous, dude. I was like, I saw that last time, game six of 2021. Like, he's being so – I mean, okay, he's a passionate owner. I get it. He's like Mark Cuban. But it's just like, he's all – dude, 2012 Thunder, 2016 Thunder, like Harden and Westbrook, I can't stand them. And, I mean, this Clipper rivalry thing or whatever, if you want to call it a rivalry or not, we can't lose this damn series, man. Like, I can't take it losing three series – Clippers and losing against Harden and Westbrook once again. I know we beat them in 2011. We won the championship, but dude, I can't stand them, man. Like, I can't. No, we have to win this series, and we're gonna win this series. They're gonna come back next game pissed off, just like game two, and we're gonna bring this one home on game six. We're gonna win this series, Mavs in six. Let's go.
All right, man. We'll talk soon.
All right, thanks, Kirk.
I removed myself from the stage. Brian, what's going on, man?
Man, just driving home from watching the game with a bunch of our friends.
I wish I could have joined you. Maybe they would have won.
Yeah, you know what's crazy? I walked in the bar, and that was when the comeback started, towards the end of the second half.
So if you were there on time, the Mavericks would have won. Is that what I'm hearing?
No. Look, so you know what's funny? So I walked in, they started coming back. I think Jazz said something that might have jinxed it.
And oh, no.
Said, you know what? Let's reset the luck. And so I walked out, walked back to my car, walked back in just to make sure that we were going to get this thing close. And we did eventually end up taking a 1-point lead, you know? Yeah. It's a bummer that they came out flat the way that they did. I'm surprised they didn't come out of halftime flat, because I
Me too.
I feel that in my bones, because you know how this team is.
Well, sure, they're down by 31 points. Like, at a certain point, you expect the juice to leave the team. And I mentioned, I don't know if you were in the first show, but there was a sequence where Josh Green shot a contested corner three that was buns, and then Luka slowed a fast break at the elbow where they didn't get a good shot. And it's like those two things really killed the momentum.
Well, yeah, so that was one of the things that, like, we were in the bar, and I was talking about this. I was like, dude, we can't – if we want to get back in this game, we want to have a real chance of winning it, we can't keep running our early offense even through Luka, because he just doesn't move fast enough, and he's not – like, you know how I want to say the last 15 games of the season, he was basically starting every possession, like every defensive possession that we closed with a rebound. He would get the ball – and he was immediately, like, basically traveling, looking to hit that hit-ahead pass. And he's doing that every single time down anymore. He's walking the ball up. He's falling back into old habits where he's walking the ball up. We're not getting into our sets until there's, like, 14, 15 seconds left on the clock. We're not really attacking. I tweeted, PJ Washington was the first person to see Mason Plumlee standing in the paint in the clutch and say, oh, that's who. I'm not going to give the ball to a guard. I'm going to go right at him because he can't stop me. Mm-hmm. And that was the first time that I saw anyone do that in, like, the 3 minutes that Mason Plumlee had been on the court. The fact that they allowed Mason Plumlee to have any kind of real impact at all with that super lucky putback and a couple defensive stops was honestly graceful. I'm fine if that kid closed the game. That's flat out. But getting noticed in the court is disrespectful. He was the only person offering any resistance at the rim. He was the only person challenging those James Harden.
Brian, we're losing you.
We could really, like...
All right. We're going to have to boot Brian for a little bit.
Well,
turn on. It's okay. It's okay. This is what happens when you drive and podcast like a madman. Come back a little later once you get home. We want you to drive safe, all right? Yeah, Rolex says get home safe first. He's right about that. All right, we're going to go to Mr. Dang. Doe, what's going on?
Hey, Kurt. How you doing, man? I just got back from the game. And if you kind of look and see all the advantages we have, okay? Number one, we match up way better with Zubac, with Lively, just as you pointed out, okay? And then we also have the size advantage without them having Kawhi in the lineup. So why aren't we taking advantage of the four things that I think that we're great at? Number one, we run the ball as soon as we can. And like the last user said, we can't run the ball through Luka if we're doing that. There were many fast breaks when we were watching that the game develop that Luka slowed down the fast break. I'm like, what are y'all doing here? You know, Lively's down the court before Zubac is by like about six steps. You should be throwing that ball ahead, you know? Yeah. And then we're a lot younger than them and more athletic and bigger. Why aren't we taking advantage of pressing the ball? You know, if we get in our offensive set sooner, we have a better probability of attacking the rim. If you look at the third quarter, when I said to the guy on the bottom, we should not be taking any threes unless we touch the paint. All our successful shots, except for three of Kyrie's shots, were attacking the rim. We shot over 70% from the paint in the third and most of the fourth quarter. When we got away from that is when we started fumbling the ball, doing stupid shit, playing outside in instead of inside out. And let's say Luka can't physically do it, okay? So we post him up in the low block, you know? We run screens, like you're saying, with Kyrie and Luka on the same side and let Luka pound them down in the leg. And if that doesn't work, then we split it out. And I'm proposing that Luka even gets out of the game. Because if he can't play defense either, I mean, there were some bad possessions with him in the third quarter where he was playing Ole defense.
No, you know? No, he's moving. He's not moving right. And also, I think he was very worried about foul trouble.
So the thing is, too, it's just like Kawhi. If Kawhi is a liability to you, you don't put him in the game. If Luka is a liability, then you take him out of the game.
And I think there's – but the Mavericks aren't structured for that because after Kyrie, they don't have anybody else who can dribble. They don't have anybody else who can dribble. And
I would have rather played Exum and see what roll my dice because the madness is keep on doing the same thing with Jason Kidd. And it's just like you said, you know, in that fourth quarter when things turn is – and I made the comment about it, okay? Okay, so we had what? Russell Westbrook in the game. We had Maxey covering Russell. Why wouldn't Maxey come over and just double on Harden and let, you know, Westbrook made two good plays out of how many? You know, yeah. I would have doubled. I would have switched DJJ on Harden. I would have given him some kind of different look.
See, in kids' post-game comments, look, he's got to speak to the media. He's got to speak. It's like literal a thing he has to do. But all of kids' post-game quotes really fucking suck right now. I don't know if anybody's seen any of them because they belie kind of a misunderstanding of how they were getting beat. And I really get some tape and they figure it out because the defense was bad. And that's more or less why they lost the game. The offense, the Mavericks offense happens enough. And Salam asks in the chat, what did some of what kid have to say? He said he chose to close with Maxey because of his ability to space the floor. You notice how many times Maxey shot the ball in the fourth quarter. Kid on finding positives within the comeback, quote, just understanding we don't quit. We won't quit. We're going to play for 48 minutes. This game was just like game one. And then he said, kid would rather live with Harden twos than his step back threes. And like that, that's the sort of thing that I fundamentally don't. Like, no, you don't. No, you don't. That's
100% the shot for him.
But it's the sort of thing that mainly speaks to, like, when you ask a guy post game before he's been allowed to look at tape and I don't want to hold it over him too much, but like that's a bad quote to me.
But the thing is, okay, we know Luka hasn't been playing well all three games, and he never made an adjustment, you know, for Luka in any way.
Their offense certainly hasn't adjusted. They don't do anything different.
You know, so that's the whole thing that gets me is he never prepares. I mean, we've had three games to try to get Luka or to try to make an adjustment. We run the ball more through Kyrie, and we haven't been doing it. And we did it finally in the third quarter. And also, if you look at the third quarter, we were successful, too, because Lively played the majority of the game. Mm-hmm. You know, we pushed him off the three-point line, and we funneled it in to off the three-point line into our interior defense. And that's what made it successful in the second and third game. Yep. And we didn't do the same thing. You know, I'm like, I'm not going to let the best guys beat me ever. You know, as a coach, as a player, you don't let the other team's hot player stay hot all the time without changing something about the strategy.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if you had our prior coach, do you think he would let this happen? Any of our prior coaches, you know, they wouldn't have allowed us to keep on going to the madhouse the same way, throwing out the same defense, throwing out the same rotations.
I really don't know. To be
Carlisle would not have done the same thing, I don't think.
But I think that's where and I've mentioned this before, I'm just kind of repeating myself, and that's okay. I sort of think Kyrie's shot making was disguising how good how bad the Clippers defense was, or I'm sorry, the Mavericks defense was during that stretch, because Kyrie and Harden were exchanging shot for shot until it was like 100, you know, the Kyrie ties it up and then it got, and you know, then he hits it just sort of the shot making disguised how porous elements of the Mavericks defense was to me. So, well, hey man, I'm glad you got to go to that game. That's pretty exciting.
Yeah, but I mean,
are you going to go to game six?
Like I said, I don't have faith to the adjustments that need to be made.
I hear you. You know, I hear you. All right. Well, let's.
I mean, the last game. Thanks, Kurt. Bye.
Hey, no, you're the man. I just got my. I can tell my wife's already annoyed with me. She came in here and was like right over there and just thanks, gave Kurt. Me a look. Those. No, man, it's fine. You're the best. Talk soon.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You know, if I would have applied myself, I could have gone to the NBA.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. But it's just like, it's been done. You know, I didn't want to, I was like, I don't want to be a follower. Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano. And we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the f***ing best.
Each week, Shea Serrano and I are combing through all the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling stories, and then handing out six pop culture themed trophies for six basketball related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto, I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill You Might Win Some, But You Just Lost One trophy. And what's more, the NBA playoffs are here, so you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast through all the craziness. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
All right, I'm going to try to fly through some folks, but I'm going to go back to Ryan, Brian, because Brian didn't crash his car. Welcome back. You're live. You want to finish on your show?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Oh, of course. Yeah, you look good now.
Appreciate it. Thank you. Okay. Basically, I'll just reply to the two things that Kid said that I just heard, which is pretty funny. One, you can't play 48 minutes when you get blown out by 30 in one quarter, right?
Sure.
And what was the second thing? It was something about God, I forget. I can't even remember. Regardless, all I'll say is this. Lively seeing no minutes in the fourth, that didn't really sit well with me. PJ, point of attack on Harden to close the game, that didn't really sit well when Derek.
Yeah, but see, I like the switch. What would you have done differently? That's the thing where it's like when you go that small, you're either going to double. Like what I didn't like, and Josh mentioned this, I didn't like how PJ was up in his pocket because that's essentially inviting Harden to go shoot a floater.
Well, I think that's why you don't close with PJ as point of attack. Derek Jones Jr., if he was going to do that, he had the foot speed to recover if James got the step on him.
Okay.
Why we made the run to come back into the game when Derek Jones Jr. was on point of attack. And PJ was in the corner playing low man where he could rotate over and be a good help defender. I thought that's what he should have been doing to close the game. I don't know why we made the switch to him being like, he's a big, strong body, sure. But being a strong body in front of Harden doesn't matter if he can get his shoulder by you.
Yep. And we saw it. It's just like Luka.
Okay, and Luka over and over. Exactly.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was rough to close. The first quarter was a travesty, and Paul George hit some incredible shots. He wasn't going to be terrible all series.
No.
What happened in that first quarter? Like Terrence Mann hit two threes from the corner, which is a shot that I was saying in real time, we're going to live with that shot every single time he takes it. And lo and behold, he didn't hit one in the last three quarters. So I'm fine with that. But he hit two in the first quarter. Paul George hit everything. Russ came in, gave them good energy. Paul George made an incredible shot to close the game. That step back in the corner at the end of the
Pretty
game.
Gnarly.
Yeah. And like when you're getting like that, and oh, that was the other thing. Living with Harden twos instead of threes. Brother, you gave up both. He hit like two threes in the first quarter.
Yeah.
Like, I don't, yeah, it's rough. But I don't think the game is going to go like that on either side going forward. Like, I don't see that as being sustainable. People will look back to, you know, what happened in game one. Different circumstances, kind of different teams, considering Luka, like, now is on 1.35 legs, right? So we're going to have to figure out how to navigate that. And Kid is going to have some tough conversations about when Luka can and can't be in the game for a defensive position. But, you know, we got 2 days for him to rest. We'll get to it when we get to it. I'm still confident we're going to win this in six. So let's just get to it.
All right, man. Thanks. Drive safe. Talk soon.
Yes, sir.
All right. Those of you who are still watching live on the stream, very much appreciate you hanging in here. If you could do me a favor and consider going down and hitting the like button, subscribe while you're down there. Got a few games left in the season, hopefully. Coming up next is Isaac. Isaac, hey. Welcome to the show. What's going on?
Hey, Kirk. Can you hear me okay?
I can. You sound great.
Awesome. So first off, the last time I joined, I didn't hear the housekeeping that you were single dadding. And I just want to say I respect the grind. I wouldn't have joined that late if I had known.
No, it's all good, man. This is what I do.
For the last 2 days, my wife's been out of town working, so I've had all three kids to myself. So I respect it. So just wanted to say that.
So you look like how Luca looked, where you're just kind of like. Ugh.
So yeah, that's pretty accurate. I'm like, you know, I'm tired of watching the Mavs at 3:30. I live in South Carolina. I'm tired of watching them in the afternoon. Especially on a weekend, because I drink too much beer for them to play like this. And at the end of the game, I'm here, you know, and that's why I come to you guys to try to not hate myself by the end of the night.
Well, I mean, then that's really, like, in all honesty, Isaac, it's funny you say that. Like, that's really the main reason I started doing these way back when I was doing the Spotify Live, is because it's like, you spend time on social media, on Facebook, Twitter, Reddit, it kind of starts to become pervasively toxic. And I kind of hate that phrase, but it's like, because you're not talking to somebody, the temperature increases. So people get really mad. So it's like, I really wish, you know, I really wish more people who like disagree with me would come up and kind of like yell at me on here, because it's a little more of like a human. You ultimately understand it like doesn't really matter, because none of what we say matters. Though I am pretty sure Jason Kidd reads MadsMoneyball.com.
I believe. It's the balance of I'm so fucking mad at the Mavs. You can have a snack in just a minute. I'm talking
just a minute. Yeah. Wait, well, snacks can wait. I had to do that in game. My son comes up to me.
So the fact that I'm even on here is a miracle.
You're nuts.
So, yes, I am absolutely nuts. Yes. You can drink that. Yep, you can drink that. I don't know what it is, but you can drink it.
It's beer. She's having a beer. You got to get that during the show. It's good. We're all good.
They actually like Luca, so that's great.
That helps.
I'll go ahead and get to my points, if you call it that. What do you think is wrong with Luca? Is he hurt? Like, is he in his head? Because he's not right, and you could see it from game one. He's not assertive. He's playing much better defensively, but if we have to rely – on Luka's defense to win games, then I'm sorry, that's not going to work. What do you think's wrong?
I mean, I think in games one and two, he was just bad. And I think today he was hurt. But he recognized it in the sense of he stopped taking bad threes and he drove a little more. But if he's hurt enough to where they, I don't know, we've talked about this a lot. If he's hurt, you know, I don't think taking him out is the answer, largely because it's just either. Like, I think you're asking Kyrie to do way too much. And I don't think that's fair to him, even though I do think he could actually make it work for a game. I just don't want to be, I don't want that to be the thing. I don't want to look back and go, man, if only if Luka could have played. I think they have to be a little bit more judicious in how Luka is used. If he's hurt, that could be part of it. More initiation from Kyrie, more pushing the ball from Luka. Like you could see him, a couple of callers have mentioned this, like the look aheads where he's just not doing it. He needs to do it. Try it. Like he only had three turnovers today. Like, I don't know.
It's off to me. It's like, we talk about Luka and everyone remembers the last two series against the Clippers. He's averaging 34, 10 and 10. It's like, he's below his season averages for this series. Yep.
And that happens in the playoffs, but his shooting is just so poor right now because the 3-point looks that he's getting are fine. They're just fine. I know they piss me off, but when they're that short, it's not good.
Yeah. He's just missing. And I don't know. So start of the game, who do you put? And we don't have to put blame on anybody. Cause sometimes you just come out and you shit the bed. It's just what it is. But the fact that the two games Kawhi has not played, we shat the bed. What do you put that on? Like, do we think
well, they're both afternoon games. That's part of it. And the Mavericks have looked bad in afternoon games all year.
Afternoon game in the playoff? I get it. Regular season is different. But this is the playoffs. We've played this team three times.
Well, that's where I wish there would be a bit of an institutional, like, hey, let's run a bread and butter easy play for Kyrie Irving to get him two solid looks in the first 8 minutes of the game. And if they don't go down and you're happy, because Luka only took six shots in the first quarter, which feels down for him. I mean, the Mavericks are just bad. Everything was bad in that first quarter. You know, it's like Kyrie went over three. It was frustrating to watch. Like
the Clippers weren't taking good shots. They were hitting tough shots. Like, what are we supposed to do?
I mean, that was essentially the difference in the first quarter. The Clippers were 8 of 11. The Mavericks were 0 of 7. And, like, that's 21 points, and the Mavericks were
– right there. That's it.
So – I don't know. If you feel like if you walk away from this game and your thought is, I still think the Mavericks can win these next two games, I don't entirely I understand that point of view. I think there's like game tape to back it up. Cause it's like, if Luka has a mediocre offensive performance instead of bleh, they might win. They really might, because like Kyrie was on his game, but it's like you go through the rest of the guys. And this is where the previous caller's point, a couple of people are talking about how like Kidd has shortened the bench. He's had to, because nobody else has really showed up. I mean, it's bleak. If you're looking outside, like I'm going back to see how many bench points the Mavericks had today. The Mavericks had, let's see here. They had 13 bench points, because Derek Lively was off that bench. But you get 2 points from Green and 3 points from Kleber, and that's only 4 shots between the two of them. Like it's just brutal. The Mavericks are playing 7.5 guys, and when if you're not getting at least double digits, I mean the scoring wasn't too bad. PJ Washington was a little off today. That's fine, but Derek Jones Jr. made it up for him. Gafford was kind of a problem. They just need Luka needs to shoot 50%. Like that's just I hate to be that like boil it down, but that's what needs to happen.
Yeah, and you know what kind of adds insult to injury, and I know defensively it probably wouldn't have helped, but if THJ is catching those open shots instead of a PJ or a Derrick Jones Jr., do they go down?
Yeah, I'm not sure. We'll see.
Yeah.
Oh my man, thanks for hanging out. All right.
Cheers, man. Yeah, I'm going to go attend to 3 children who are wanting me to put them to bed. So
good luck. Survive in advance. Yep. Talk soon.
Appreciate
it. All right. Then we're coming back. We have a long, he hasn't been up here all year, probably because he's hosting his own podcast, because I encouraged him to. Tyler, what's going on, man?
Kurt, what's up, dude? It's been a minute.
Long time. What's going on, man? Where have you been, and then why are you joining now?
Well, I mean, I've been, like you said, hosting my own pod, so that's been a trip in itself. But it's been a lot of fun. I'm glad you kind of pushed me in that direction. It's been a blast. So
good. I'm glad.
I've really enjoyed it. And then why I'm here, I mean, come on, man. This is a game that they absolutely should have lost when you just look at the box score. The Clippers had 5 dudes shoot over 1-3, and all of them shot above 50% from 3. The Mavs had 6 dudes shoot more than 1-3, and they had 1 dude. Or actually 2, I'm sorry, shout out to Derek Jones Jr. They had 2 shoot above 50%, or actually above 20%. PJ Washington was 1 of 5, and Luka was 1 of 9. So it's like, they should have lost this game. It just makes it more of a punch in the nuts if they come all the way back, they do the whole exercise, and then just get it snatched at the end because of some, quite frankly, ridiculous shot making by the Clippers. That's just tough. I mean, it just is. But, you know, I'm not, as a whole, too terribly concerned. I still think they can win this series, but you know, I guess my main question is like, what everybody expects the quote unquote Luka game to come. What happens if it doesn't? Like, I don't know if they can overcome not having a Luka game in a series.
I don't have an answer for this, and I'm sorry. I just also read a tweet at the exact time you were finishing from my Twitter friend, Jazz the Terrible. And I'm just going to say it out loud. There was a picture on the internet from, I want to say it was, gosh dang it. Why is his name slipping my mind? He's a Mavericks podcaster that has the long hair and is really, really funny. What is wrong with you?
Slightly biased.
Sorry. His handle was escaping me, but there he posted a picture of a bunch of people at the bar after Mavs game 3 doing like the lively pose. And she tweeted that. I'm sorry. We're 2 hours into a podcast. I don't really care at this point. This is too funny to not read. She said, where to go? The picture of all the white people doing the PJ pose is what cursed us. I'm sorry. Oh God, that's just the yeah, I mean, I think if you want to take anything away from this game, you can kind of find something to take away. If you want to be despondent, I get it. If you want to be hopeful because the Clippers shot a gajillion percent, I get that too. I am, you guys know me. When I am mad, I am like spitting mad. And the only thing that really, really made me mad about this game was reading was reading like I don't care about Kidd's contract. Like talking about that in the playoffs makes me fucking furious. So
yeah, that was bad timing for that article.
No, the article is pretty good because the Mavericks are in a good spot, but it's just it's like a jinx. It's like, look at how good we are, and then we lose.
It never fails, truly.
And if you guys don't know what article we're talking about, Tim McMahon put out a nice piece. It's a good piece, informative. Lots of good quotes from Mavericks people on the record. That never happens, about kind of how the Mavericks are built to for the long haul. And I'd agree with that. So
I was about to say, it's not wrong. It's just a bad day for it to come out.
That's right. All right. Well, you got anything else for us, my man?
I don't. I'll try to be more active. I've been listening and watching the pods all year. It's just, you know, life happens. I hadn't moved to a new job, so I'll try to be more active.
Hey, it's okay. We just like, you know, it's a my I got a friend of mine. His name's Spike Eskin, and he does the Rights to Ricky Sanchez podcast. And he's been at this for like 10 years, and they have do like live shows, and they're crazy. They have all these fans, and it's like every now and again, I'll look. It's like, oh, you know, we had 25,000 people listen to our podcast this month. That's not great. And he's like, he like messaged me back, and he said, stop being a fucking idiot. You could fill a basketball arena with the number of people who listen to your show. And that's a really, it's like, and even on these live shows, like it says right now, we got 233 people for here listening on YouTube live. And it's like, that could fill in, like that could fill an audience if we were to do a live show. And it's like, that's true. It's like, you know, just knowing people listen to this and enjoy the community. That's all I really want out of this. Even though I do appreciate the beer money, or as Josh and I have stopped calling it, we now call it daycare money.
There you go.
Tyler, you have yourself a good day. We'll talk soon. I hope to see you Wednesday night.
Appreciate you, brother.
All right. Guys, head on over to MavsMoneyBall.com in the coming days. I have just checked our Slack. We have like four people turning in post-game comments ranging all across the spectrum of people who, you know, we have 20-ish writers, and we have people who feel all sorts of different ways about the game, and I encourage them all to write their feelings down. And so that will be happening. Thanks so much for hanging out with here on a Sunday night. We will be back on Wednesday. I don't know, maybe I'll see if I can find somebody to do something Monday or Tuesday to hold you over. Everybody be good, have a great week, and go Mavs.